Lud Franková.
On the occasion of its 660th anniversary, Charles University recently hosted an annual meeting of Europeum, an association of 10 leading European universities, including Oxford. Europeum also organized a workshop on European migration at the Institute of Economics, drawing young scholars from Leiden, Geneva, Prague, Oxford and Krakow. Last week I met with Europeum's Secretary General Paul Flether and asked him to tell me more about its history.
Yes, it's now 15 years old, and we established it to, in a way, spread ideas throughout Europe. We felt that as European intellectuals get together, they must have some kind of structure to meet and discuss. And we were particularly keen that we involved new emergent countries. So we were delighted to involve University from Poland and, of course, Charles University from Prague. And we have spread our net quite widely. And we do all kinds of collaborative activities. And one of our big focuses is young scholars. We want them to meet each other, develop networks, and set the tone for future European work.
So Europeum was established in early 1990s, but as far as I know, you first came to this country much earlier.
Well, that's right. I think I came first in 1980. There was this famous letter from Julius Tomine, who was the Charter 77 spokesman, and he said he appealed to academics in the West to come and teach in Prague, even though the authorities were not welcoming us. And somehow that letter reached the philosophy department of Oxford, and some of the philosophers came and gave underground lectures, and they were thrown out. And it happened that the philosophers who were thrown out were my tutors at Oxford. I was at Balliol College, and they decided not to give up, even though it was obviously going to be a difficult assignment. And they fell in love with the whole movement, the dissident movement. And they very kindly invited me to join the group, so at a quite young age I got involved.
Was it your first visit of the Eastern Bloc?
Yes, I think it was. And for a chap who came from India, aged 8, to England, which was a big journey, and then to make another journey from Britain to East Europe, these were quite big jumps. And I was incredibly shocked at many things, but in the end, what matters is people, and I think we were all of us, so impressed by the courage and determination of these groups of people that we met to, in a sense, seek freedom. And for a young person, it was very impressionable.
Apart from giving lectures, did you work as a sort of mediator? Did you bring things from England to Prague?
When we came, we always tried to give a talk or a lecture or a seminar. But our other job was to bring money for people who had either been thrown out of work or were somehow not able to get the money, which allowed them to do scholarship, to do translations. And also we used to bring books. And I remember once I brought quite a lot of books, and my suitcase didn't arrive at the airport, and I got very, very nervous. And then I went to the check desk, and they said the suitcase had been sent to Moscow. So I got very, very worried, but I think that was actually an accident, because eventually it came back and I got my books. And then one day I was followed, and then, I was taken to questioning, and it's 1986, and then they discovered some papers, and I was banned. So then I couldn't come for 3 years until after the revolution.
What we've been talking about, the organization was called the Jan Hus Foundation. We haven't mentioned that. Is that right?
That's right. This was set up in 1980-81 by these philosophers in Oxford, and it was called the Jan Hus Foundation. And it worked throughout the 80s with quite an important network, including many people from Charter and other groups, and also with groups in Brno and one or two other places, and also in other countries like Poland and Romania.
What happened with the foundation in the 90s after the fall of communism? Did it cease to exist, or what happened?
Well, after 89, we were obviously very excited, and we all came to Prague, and we saw some of the people that we'd met very informally had suddenly become ministers, prime ministers, and foreign ministers, and of course presidents. And really, I can't describe how fantastic that felt for us, as well as obviously for the Czech people and the Czech nation. And we thought our job was done, but when we sat down and met our Czech friends, they said, no, your job has only half done. Now you must help us to complete the transformation. So, strangely, we found ourselves even busier in the 90s, somehow making academic links, showing new textbooks and new ideas and new opportunities. But gradually, we passed the control and organization to our Czech colleagues. And I think by the middle of the 90s, we were very much the junior partner. And by the end of the 90s, we were very pleased that the job was taken on.
So what was your role here in the 1990s? As far as I know, you helped to set up a different organization here in Prague.
That's right, because what happened then is I got an extraordinary phone call one evening from George Soros, and he said, look, I have a plan to set up a new university, and we're looking for someone to run it, and your name was mentioned. Could you come and have breakfast with me? So I went the next morning rather excited, and before I knew it, I was working for him halfway through the scrambled egg. And for me, it was wonderful because it meant coming back to Prague very often, maybe 2 weeks every month I spent in Prague. And we set up the Central European University. I negotiated with your president and many, many people. Even Professor Jan Swainer was one of the early people that we gave offices to. And for the next 4 years, I had this wonderful opportunity to set up the university. And I think it went very well, but as everybody knows, there was a little trouble, and then eventually, unfortunately, the main university was moved to Budapest.
But now you are returning here thanks to Europeum, so you are coming regularly to Prague anyway. And you've been in touch with students and academics for years. So would you say, or have you noticed any changes in their attitudes and their behavior over these past two decades?
It's strange how life works. I came, as I said, from India, from Delhi, and arrived in London, and then I've stayed most of my life in Oxford. And now I think my third home is Prague. And I must say, over the last 2 decades, the changes have been enormous. And it's been very exciting to witness them. I suppose, like everybody, one sometimes worries about the commercialization of the beautiful city of Prague. But it's still beautiful. It will always be beautiful. And we can't stop other tourists enjoying it. In fact, it's our duty to share it with them. And let's just hope we hang on to the beautiful buildings and the spirit, that wonderful spirit that took Czech people through so much trouble for 50 years. And let's not lose it to money and to just commercial values.
Paul Flather speaking there to Ruth Frankova.